and I've kind of run out of them. I've only got maybe a couple episodes of Arrested Development left that I've run it.
Yeah, you've been watching Arrested Development, Stu?
Aye, well, rewatching some of my favourites.
Ah, respect. I got Bill into Arrested Development as well. And he's gone through all you.
Mainly my favourite one is the Mrs. Fellerbottom one. I just, that guy cracks me up.
Have you watched Arrested Development then, Ken?
I've only seen it. I've not seen it. I've only seen that it's on here, but I've never followed it due to me being rather picky with TV series.
Oh, you've got.
But you know what? You know what? That is not a slam on the series as such. I don't know anything about it, literally. But I haven't really, you know, sat down to watch it. The latest series I've started was just due to it sounded really cool with the synopsis. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's a series called Pushing Daisies.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but I've not looked into it.
It's kind of cool. A guy who can wake up people from the dead, but if he keeps them awake with the touch of his finger, but if he keeps them awake for over a minute, someone else will die. And he keeps one awake for over a minute, and that's his childhood love. And he wakes from the dead. But he can't touch her. That's the problem. It's quite a fun series. Quirky and offbeat and kind of fairy tale-like. And there's a guy narrating it. I looked up his name because it sounded like John Hurt. But it was this... Jim Dale.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Which I think is fairly famous for voice work. Anyway, he narrates it. It's quite a... quite a good experience.
English actor, yeah?
Well, it's a British accent he narrates in, so I assume...
Jim Dale, famously, was one of the stars of the Carry On films.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for anybody out there who's not familiar with Carry On, it's some kind of, you know, bawdy...
camp.
Yeah, camp, sex-based... ooh, look at that pear, you know, talking about the fruit pear, etc, etc, kind of pun lame-o jokes. Oh, there's so many Carry On films, and Jim Dale was in loads of them. In fact, when they tried to do in the late 90s, they tried to do revive it and do a new Carry On film with loads of British comedy stars of the day, and Jim Dale being one of the few more well-known surviving cast members of the Carry On films was the star of that. It tanked.
What was it called?
Carry On Columbus, I think, maybe.
Alright.
And that all has a Hong Kong connection in a way. You know, because there were Carry On Hotel, Carry On Pickpocket... and that's the only two I can think of, but they made a few of those just due to the name, I guess.
Seriously, seriously tenuous. But thanks for remaking, my little sojourn into, ramblingness.
No.
almost worthwhile. To the podcast, of course.
You ever saw Future Cops, Mike?
No, I only saw a trailer for that one.
I think that's one of the first Ken Cheng movies. You know what? The trailer should be awesome. That film is pretty much unbearable. Pretty much. But it's all Wong Jing's fault. And guys like Dickie Chung just noise the shit out of you whenever you watch that film. But the trailer must be, 4 minutes of great highlights and little of the Wong Jing...
Where it's like school kids with like crazy day glow hair and floating around on stuff.
It's supposedly an attempt to make a Street Fighter film, but again, there was no rights secured, so Wong Jing just tweaked it a little bit. So, I think Simon Yam and Jackie Chung, they obviously play characters out of Street Fighter, but without the names given, then they avoided the legal trappings. I guess. Still a bad film. I mean, Ching Miao is dressed up as one of the famous female fighters from the same female fighter that Jackie Chan is dressed up as in City Hunter.
Chun-Li.
I don't remember. Yeah. She's obviously that, but you know, tweak it a little bit and the long arm of the law won't get you. In this case, Capcom, I guess.
Must be.
Yeah, it is Capcom. Like I said, it's been a bit of a slow one for me, movie watching wise.
But you kept your Shaw Brothers trend going, sort of.
Yeah, well, it's only...
You picked it up again, rather.
By Shaw Brothers. I guess tenuously, it's got the Shaw Brothers logo at the beginning, so...
Have you bought the other Shaws yet? Out of the Dark and Lookout Officer and stuff like that? Speaking of Stephen Chow.
Yeah, I've seen Out of the Dark. Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. That's a little bit hit and miss, but...
Mm.
The funny stuff is very funny.
Yeah.
Lookout Officer... I haven't bought because I've got... a dodgy and a very cheap UK DVD retitled as The Shaolin Idiot.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Which I believe came out after the success of Shaolin Soccer.
Oh, really?
Hence the crappy title.
I remember the title, but I never knew that was the film.
Yeah, so I've watched a bit of it, but I haven't actually watched the whole film yet, to be honest. It's not great quality, and I was kind of in two minds as to whether to buy the Celestial, you know, just for the better quality.
I've got the Celestial, and yeah, well, obviously it brings the quality, but overall the film is pretty good.
It's not Stephen Chow not yet being Stephen Chow as such, but it still features a few funny things. It's
like
an
idol in the making.
Sorry?
Like an idol in the making.
Yeah, exactly. And Amy Yip is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which should generate sales. But it's one of those films also that mixes its moods quite heavily. I think it starts out quite brutal, the film. And Bill Tung's character gets killed and comes back as a ghost. And after that, it's more light and wacky. But it's not yet, you know, the Stephen Chow stamp on it as such, where you can say, "Ah, I know what I'm getting into." Sort of.
The synopsis on the back of Shaolin Idiot is cracking stuff. Well, for a kickoff, the front cover has Shaolin Soccer's Stephen Chow, 1,000 years of tradition ruined by one moron. And then it's got Stephen Chow doing some kind of fireball dragon type pose in a plain t-shirt with some guy in some kind of monk's outfit doing a flying kick. Not sure how that relates to the film, but
not at all.
Then on the back we've got the new international sensation from Hong Kong is back with a bang, brackets, and a boom, close brackets. Stephen Chow, the star of the blockbuster hit Shaolin Soccer, is a cop, brackets, aka the idiot, close brackets.
What?
Who couldn't catch a cold, let alone a bad guy. But help is on the way in the form of an avenging ghost cop who was murdered in the line of duty. The action comes fast and furious as the idiot goes against heavy odds made by both sides. Stephen Chow is the next superstar to come from the land of Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan and Jet Li. See him at the top.
Yeah.
Hey,
see him at the top of his game.
Who released this DVD?
It's Fortune 5 DVD.
We need to find these people and fucking kill them.
But
you know what?
Release.
You know what? If they had ended that synopsis with and Amy Yip is in it, then we could just leave them alone. Then they got the right idea.
Yeah, it's quite surprising that they've got a film with Amy Yip, who's known for having like a big rack. And they haven't got a picture of on here with their boobs out or anything.
No, that could have easily replaced the monk.
Yeah, exactly. Strange. They also released, looks like, Dr. Y in the Scriptures with No Words and some other stuff. Jackie Chan, The Kung Fu Years.
What? What is that? Some compilation of sorts, it sounds like almost. Huh.
Apparently, probably. Experience the magic of the East's most popular action star. I'm guessing it's just, you know, clips from old Jackie Chan films.
Yeah, there is one such compilation, I think. Invincible Fist or something. That is just that. That is circulating on bootlegs and stuff like that, so maybe they got a hold of that.
Now, what did they describe that Jackie Chan thing as?
What, the Kung Fu?
The blurb.
The Kung Fu years.
What was the blurb for that?
Well, I've only got a little picture of it here on the back of the Sharon and Idiot case.
But what did you just read it like?
Experience the magic of the East's most popular action star.
So that's the thing, this is of the East, like, they don't actually know where he's from. And I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure there'd been like a board meeting where it's like, is he Japanese or is he Chinese? Then some worried person would come in, but there's also Koreans there as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the early years was pretty much spent between Korea and Hong Kong and Taiwan and stuff. But us stupid fanboys are the only ones who know that, and our opinion doesn't count. Not in boardroom meetings. That's for damn sure. Who do you get the biggest response, you know, from watching? And I think it's Long Island.
It's quite a difficult question. It seems pretty simple, but if you want to actually take the time to think about that kind of question, then there's so many different factors to include. Because obviously, you know, you like the style somebody uses, but it all depends on choreography and if they work with certain choreographers on a regular basis and things like that. I mean, if I was going to pick one, my instinct, even though my head's full of many people, many great fighters, my instinct is to pick Sammo.
Yeah.
Because not only was he brilliant in modern action films, he was brilliant in old street films as well. And he's a great performer as well as being a great choreographer. And I find his choreography is usually endlessly fascinating. It's just, it's full of those moments where you're just kind of going, whoa, or wow, I can't believe he just did that. How can a fat lad flip like that? I just love it.
What movie is the scene from where he flips from a table? I believe he fights with a Westerner. It's one of those Wheels on Meals or Skinny Tiger, Fatty Dragon films. I think it's a minor flip. It's not from a huge height, but it's from a basically a small table. It just does a flip that looks amazing. Despite.
Twinkle Twinkle Lucky Stars against Richard Norton.
I think it's against Richard Norton, yeah.
I think you banged on there, Stu. I think it is that. There's tons of moments with Sammo doing amazing flips as well. There's a nice little section at the beginning of Pedicab Driver where he does a few flips over tables.
Oh,
that's really nice.
And has that wonderful fight with Lau Garlong in Pedicab Cab Driver.
That fight is incredible. In fact, all three fights are really good. The first one's just a bit of a tease. The second main fight with Lau Garlong is incredible. And obviously, you know,
who just appears for one scene. I think he's in one scene, Lau Garlong. And
yeah,
that's that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, there was a rumour going round that there was more footage that had been cut out, including Lau Garlong appearing later in the film. But I think that's just a crazy rumour. Probably started by Rick Mayers or something.
Yeah.
And then the fight at the end, Billy Chow is another really good screen fighter. You know, obviously always gets the role of the big badass villain.
Yeah.
Because he's big and he looks like a badass. And that fight is brutal at the end with Sammo and Billy Chow. And the editing is just something else as well.
I like that, actually, with that final fight, even, was it Mang Hoi, was, like, still getting a fair bit of the show. He kind of looked like the character that was going to get killed off, just more things to make Sammo angrier. But no, he showed his props.
And that was a field film in terms of recognizable faces as well.
Yeah.
Pedigab, cab driver, Coryun, Billy Lau, probably Uma, and everyone.
Eric Sands' cameo in that film was great. Well, he was just a note then, but it was how the first fight kicked off.
Coryun as well in the that fight as well, isn't he? Mm. He's on the opposite side, Samu.
I think the best part about Eric's cameo was when he was running, then I think he was everyone chasing after him and he starts jumping balconies, then he does one big fall,
yeah,
and sort of lands on his feet and all the kind of just stops and awes at him.
Yeah, that is
like
a good
I'm
bit.
Alive. Like, how?
Lam Ching Ying's great in that as well. A small cameo, he's really funny.
Oh, Lam's the man though.
Yep, won't get any argument about that here.
And and if you take that if you mention Salmon, you mention Lam Ching Ying, you can take that things into slightly off topic. Lam Ching Ying and Sammo Hung, two great actors as well, as it turned out. You know, painted faces, even Prodigal Son, especially for Lam Ching Ying. So, you know, as a reason to admire the transition they made.
Lam Ching Ying was another great screen fighter as well. Possibly a little bit underused for the amount of talent he had, I think. Mm-hmm. The amount of roles I've seen him in where he does a little bit of fighting. The Prodigal Son's the only one I can think of off the top of my head where he's, you know, solid, hardcore kung fu all the way through.
Well, it really ended when the typecasting happened after Mr. Vampire. He wasn't really allowed to do any kung fu films as far as I can remember. The only ventures outside of that, what was the drama now and then, as I said, Painted Faces, but also School on Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, that was a good one.
But then again, Lam Ching Ching didn't really mind apparently to do these films because he was very often very funny, and again, underrated actor, underrated comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah, we need a Lam Ching Ching puff soon.
Yeah,
we should do.
Right.
I think we've nailed Mikey Warsaw Mike's question though.
Yeah.
My most underrated one would be Lung Kar Yam, probably. He's been given a few roles over the years, and but I felt his career never took off properly.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but he had a very good stint at Shaw Brothers while his days were there.
Yeah, one of my last Shaw films was starred Lung Kar Yam for like 3 minutes and then he was gone.
I mean, it's just a case of the can't quite adjust to the new world scenario.
Yeah, it's usually TV series just now.
Yeah, it's a shame really, so many stars died during that era. Well, when I say died, I mean their careers died in a way, but it gave birth to so many new ones.
Yeah.
So in a way, you could argue it's a good thing and a bad thing at the same time.
Forbidden Kingdom. Well, I'm not going to knock it back right away, but I don't have high hopes for it.
No, I don't either, but then again, though, I'm not really expecting a massively great Hong Kong film, because it isn't a Hong Kong film.
No.
It's an American film, so it's going to be aimed at American audiences who have different expectations of a film than the Asian audiences do.
Well, they've announced recently that Jackie and Jet are going to make another film together.
So they say, but we could be waiting 4 or 5 years for this.
Yeah, true.
I know that most movie stars tend to say what pleases their fans. I remember a few years ago, Jackie said he'd never do a Rush Hour 3 sequel, but he did.
Yeah, he's not too keen on the serious.
You know, he was going to become a serious actor in America, you know, he's going to make full-on drama, but he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, true. Well, I could tell he was having a cold, but I've got a cold right now.
I'm just at the point where you have to keep clearing your throat, which is very groggy. But
I have to keep clearing my nose. Ironically. But like the Cold Brothers.
I think I know the title for the show already.
Cold Podcast.
It's actually quite good.
Yeah, originally I wanted Mrs. Doyle, but no, I think that'll be good.
Well, it's Ben and Podcast are nice.
But yeah, forgot about that.
The many titles we went through for this night. Mm. Eventually we just added a number on from the previous one, or changed it depending on what way you want to put it.
Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire.
We've already done that part.
Sorry, have it. want to do it, and it wouldn't let me because I'm not host, so.
Yeah, that would be me. I'm the host, I'm the master.
I should.
You will obey my commands at all times, or you don't have to because I have no way I'm forced
and
by...
And Scott's offline.
Well then, I guess it's just us two then.
Yeah, or I could just leave, then it's just you on your own to finish the show. Then I'd have to put on the hosting reins again.
Yeah.
Hosting on my night off, dirty bastards.
Well, you're not editing any of this, so really, it's still your night off.
Aye.
You just happen to be talking to two mates.
Okay.
You're lucky, really, having this on, because Scott's right, he's got to edit it, you know, he's got to put it online, he's got to create the extras and the outtakes.
I know how it feels.
Yes. You do this two, sometimes twice a week, I think.
This documentary follows a
young filmmaker. Sorry, no, I'm just going for my coins, because I got some ordered some take, and I just noticed those boss at Tesco's gave me an East Caribbean States dollar coin instead of a 50p coin. It's pretty much the same shape, only it's got more, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 sides.
Okay.
Although it is very confusing, because it has a queen on one side, and a ship on the other, and it just says $1. I'm not even sure what the East Caribbean States are. Unless it means all those little islands like Martinique and Dominica and stuff. Oh. I know you're not sleeping, that's just a stupid sleep noise. And I've heard better.
That was the natural throat clearing, but still.
Oh, sound like you were pretending to be sleeping at my boring voice.
Oh, a bit of both.
Oh, fair enough then.
I'll shout start again. Fucking hell.
Bastard dropped the call. It's not getting away that easy. Oh, he's gone offline again.
It's kind of...
become millionaires. You do that.
Yeah, that made no sense. Ah, the wonders of the internet.
It's amazing what you can do with an internet explorer. Excuse me, people. There is someone at the door.
Just in the thought Mike's phone's the only interruption.
There had to be something like that.
This might even be a deleted conversation, you never know. Did you realise the similarities between real life and his movie Beyond Our Ken? Real life in terms of the sex photo scandal that Dylan Chow was involved in, and it basically it very much resembles the plot in Beyond Our Ken. Even though there's no scene of a stupid Canadian Hong Kong actor leaving his computer with the company and having his computer hacked. And he looking a bit stupid because of it.
I still really think it was just a big folder on his desktop. Or his wallpaper.
Exactly. A whole collage of stuff that Edison Chen hoped no one would notice.
Rest assured, Stu will delete this. Any Edison Chen related stuff will go into the bin.
Edison is not too bad, even though he's been a good actor at least twice, but he's been a bad actor at least 10 times.
The bad
Dog
at least
by Dog and Princess D, I stand by. I think he's good in those films.
But
yeah, folks, do look back on Beyond Arcane because you because of what you now know of the real life sex scandal. Sex photo scandal, and maybe the twist in that film might be a reality thing as well. If you remember the twists, do you don't know?
Not barely. Oh, I need to. I'm adding that to my pile because that is such a good film. I remember watching it. Then nights later, it's like, oh, you need to watch this film. And then, well, I showed my girlfriend it. Then by the end, I said, "What do you think? What do you think?" Oh, it's all right. It's like. What do you mean it's alright? Don't you see the genius? But then she did after a few swift kicks, but still.
She just said that to please you. Well, whatever. Just be quiet.
But that was just... That film was just magic. Yeah. It's probably not the way to describe it, but even just for the music or even those slow burning scenes where they're sitting on the train.
Yeah.
Just... Oh, it was a great film.
And still it has that... Edmund Pang's synopsis, which just equals naughty, and it really does every time. He writes naughty stories, creates naughty stories, but with deeper meanings than that often.
Anyway. Yeah.
So hopefully Exodus will be along those lines. So high hopes for that one. Mm-hmm.
And that Trivial Matters kind of, from the looks of the trailer, it kind of just seems like several wee stories.
Yeah, it's seven short stories that he'd written for the screen now, so it just seemed like a quickie for him to do, which a movie is a movie, obviously, but it's not, I don't think it's as well planned as Isabella or hopefully Exodus. It's just a quick one.
Mm-hmm. Nah, that did kind of look like a flash in the pan.
It should be amusing enough, I think.
Yeah, it seems pretty good.
Which is really the expectation.
Edison Chen and Gillian Chung.
Yeah. And Chapman Toe.
And Chapman Toe. I actually just kind of remembered the kind of part he had in that movie from the trailer.
Yeah.
Was it not just like a sex scene? He was just sitting there picking his nose.
I think he was the one who was active, and what I assume is the hook he picked up was not active. Just very, very plain sex.
A very bland sex scene.
Yeah.
What a scandal. I was going to get that film, but I read it was pants, and I didn't bother.
I thought it was a good film, but I could tell why people thought it was pants, and it's got one of those endings where I was just like,
it's all a dream,
bitch. Well, this is one I will tell you the ending.
Yeah, please, sir, so I don't have to bother.
You already seen it, Ken?
Nah, I don't really care to see it either, so it's not that kind of movie.
It's basically the final round between leading actor, I think it was Venison Wu or something.
Strange fucking name.
And it must have been Andy on, and it basically, not sure if it is the final round or after the final round, but you never get to find out who wins the tournament. The sort of thing where both of them go for the final punch, then the film just ends.
It's like a classic 70s martial arts ending, then.
Maybe Wong Jing could cash on it, then.
Sequel.
It could have just ended like with black screen and the words, fuck you. That's what it felt like.
I would have liked the film because of that, because, you know, we got the balls.
But it just made so much, and you got that into it and said, right, I want to see who wins. Then it gets to the point, then it just cuts off like, motherfucker.
It's clever marketing.
I want to write a letter to that director.
Daniel Lee, we're after you.
That's why I've no really got faith in that movie he's doing, the new with Andy Lau, the Three Kingdom movie.
Oh, number one, yeah.
I'm just not too keen on it. There's just something about it, and the fact that he pissed me off that time. It's not recovered. The wound's still fresh.
While we're slightly off topic, then Daniel Lee is still a director too that you can recommend people to seek out, but not because of his action films, but because of his dramas. Mainly Till Death Do Us Part, which is a divorce drama with Anita Yun and Alex Fong, Francis. Depressing as fuck. But really, really well made, and shows Daniel Lee can make that film, kind of film, and also the Leslie Cheung film Moonlight Express, which was partly questionably good, but still showed his strength when directing drama, which is a shame he's not developing that side. He likes his brain dead MTV style, apparently. And, up yours, Danny Lee.
I'm Stuart Sutherland.
I'm Kenneth.
I'm Scott. Thank you and good night!
What the fuck?
That was
Don't steal night. My sign-off.
No, it was Scott and Mike. I think it was Mike. My last podcast.
You know what? We've just cut you off.
Oh. Oh my god. Who's power hungry now?
Yep. Okay, guys. We'll catch yous later.
Bye-bye. Am I still here, by the way?
Oh, I just had to do that. I was actually saving it for Mike.
That would be a wonderful sign off, maybe slash outtake.
There we go.
You sang up me, you prick.
Aye. Oh, that worked so well.
Bastard. Right, okay, so what did you say in those last 15 seconds?
No, we just kind of laughed.
Oh, well, I'll never know, and it'll be deleted.
It'll be on the podcast. How could we miss out this golden moment?
Ken? What did you say?
I just said, when we said goodbye, I asked, am I still here? And something about Stu being power hungry. That was kind of beautiful, though.
But if you know the ending of Blood Brothers, mm-hmm. right? How that ended.
Yep.
At the end of this, well, this is a spoiler warning.
Oh, no, but I've not seen it yet. Keep your mouth shut, Stu.
Okay, fine.
Right, type it to Ken and...
I want to see it.
I know.
Okay. I'm saying no more.
Good.
But still.
It was all a dream. It was all a dream. That was the end.
Jet Li wakes up. Ken. And there's, like, he woke up on the set of Romeo Must Die 2. Still no deeds.
No!
Another night.
This is the dream.